It seemed like a cut and dried offer. Social Security needed a lot of new printers. A well-known reseller offered a tried and true brand. But contracting officials, citing supply chain risks, went elsewhere. The reseller protested, but world diplomatic concerns prevailed. With more on the case, procurement attorney Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. And this concerns Social Security and what vendors, Joe?
Well, the awardee, or the parent awardee, rather, was Iron Bow Technologies, and they were offering printers by Lexmark. As you pointed out, is a very well-known company. I guess it used to be part of IBM and was spun off. The issue here was whether the awardee would get the contract, because the solicitation said that in addition to the other usual types of evaluations, the Social Security Administration was going to evaluate potential supply chain risk, including foreign ownership or control of the prime contractor, the subcontractors, and the location of the manufacturing facilities. Iron Bow was asked to provide information about Lexmark. It did. The Social Security Administration reviewed it, and they held that there was an unacceptable supply chain risk, did not give Iron Bow the contract. The concern wasn't with Iron Bow, it was with the Lexmark printers and the fact that Lexmark was wholly owned by three Chinese entities, two of which had close ties to the Chinese government. And so the Social Security Administration looked at three things before it made its decision. The first thing was, as I've mentioned, the ownership. They're all Chinese with close ties to the government. The second issue was the Social Security Administration looked at U.S. government reports about Chinese government cyber espionage efforts, including laws that would enable the Chinese government to get its hands on sensitive information like source code. That was the second factor. The third factor was that the printers would be connected to SSA's VPNs and other networks, and if compromised, would constitute a security risk.
That's unusual. I guess maybe it's not unusual, but it seems a little surprising given how many Lexmark printers there probably are already in the federal government, and the fact that the company has for a long time actively marketed to the federal government.
Absolutely. And, in the bid protest case that Iron Bow brought to contest this decision, that was one of the things they raised. They said the Social Security Administration already has Lexmark printers installed, so what's the problem? And Social Security successfully defended that, and the court accepted this, by saying that those printers had been built prior to the acquisition by entities with ties to the Chinese government and did not pose the same level of risk. So at least on this particular set of facts, that wasn't a way of, there was a distinction between the printers that had been bought earlier and the ones that were going to be purchased now.
Printers do sit on the network. They have hard drives, and therefore they are just as much computers as a computer, I guess is the way Social Security is looking at it properly.
Sure. Being connected to the network, I suppose, means that if they're compromised, whoever can use the printer as a gateway to the network can obtain other information, do other things that would pose a security risk.
Yeah, because printers have long been recognized as nodes on a network that are just as hackable as any other node on the network, and many of the large-scale printers do have hard drives that retain a lot of data, even after the user is finished with whatever printing task they've done. So anyway, this got protested, but not to the GAO.
Now, it initially started at the GAO, and then Iron Bow moved to the protest to the Court of Federal Claims, and that's where this decision was rendered. And as I mentioned, the court looked at what the Social Security Administration had done, and it looked at Iron Bow's objections to those decisions. The first one being, the printers that had been in use, and that there was a distinction there. The other one that Iron Bow raised was that when the Chinese acquisition occurred, there had to be a review of that by U.S. government agencies under CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. And they approved it, and there was a national security agreement put into place. Ironbow said, look, this has been approved by the U.S. government, this acquisition, so there shouldn't be a problem here. The court looked at the agreement and looked at the process and said that really did not address the kind of supply chain risk that Social Security Administration was concerned about. And therefore, they could come to their own decision about that and make their own review. There's also an issue that Ironbow raised because the Chinese government owners that had a demonstrable tie to the Chinese, the Chinese owners that had a demonstrable tie to the Chinese government did not appear to own a majority of the company. So it seemed to be a diminished risk in that regard. But the court held that there was a reasonable concern that a large investment, such as 49%, which is what it was here, would still pose a potential security risk.
We're speaking with Joseph Petrillo of Petrillo and Powell. In some ways, this sounds a little bit like Homeland Security trying to get and successfully getting Kaspersky Lab's cybersecurity products out of federal networks, something that had been popular and used for a long time. Again, this is only one agency, and what I'm mentioning is a government-wide gambit. But that idea that a company becomes somehow persona non grata as maybe the world situation changes.
Well, yeah, and there's a particular concern where the distinction between the public sector and the private sector blurs, as it does in some of these countries. And of course, in a communist country, you've got the government owning and controlling some of the means of production. And there the concern is, where is the country one where you have a security risk? Because that will bleed over into some of the entities that are in that country, the business entities. And that's what was concern here to SSA.
How did this all resolve then? What did the court order?
Well, the court looked at the issues. They found the decision by the Social Security Administration was reasonable. And they held that there was a potential security risk here. And all that had to be determined was that there was a potential risk, not an actual risk. That was the standard in the solicitation, and that was the standard the court applied. And there was enough concern in terms of the facts that were issued, the Chinese government ownership, history of cyber espionage recognized by other government agencies. It all added up to an adequate case to justify not giving Ironbow the contract.
Do we know what happened afterwards? Did they award someone else, or did Ironbow come up with a different proposal, or too early to tell?
It's not in the decision, and the decision was issued, I think, only last month, so maybe too early to know that. I suppose Ironbow could appeal this decision to the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit if it wanted to do that.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ironbow's line card, and they have been a Hewlett-Packard partner since 1998. So maybe they could go back, or Dell, maybe they could go back with some other brand and start over again.
This is an interesting case because it shows the broad power of an agency to make this kind of determination. But it also raises a question about whether these should be decisions that are centralized. Is the interest of the Social Security Administration here in security any different from the interest of other government agencies that might even have more sensitive information available?
Yeah, I wonder if there's any Lexmark printers of recent vintage, say, in the National Security Agency.
Interesting question.
We'll have to find out that one. Joe Petrillo is a procurement attorney with Petrillo and Powell. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you.